Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Twitter freaks are freaks.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
At least I fake it.
Classic.
Just looking at Twitter to see if... Wow, love you guys, but this whole spoiler conversation has just been garbage radio. That's just a horrible take.
Was that from RPD?
Probably. So here's the information I just got. A friend of mine has been in Chicago with her family since the pandemic started. And it's been a long run, and she's like, she's going to go home now. She lives in Los Angeles. So she said, enough is enough. I've been here. I'm going to go back. And she thought that right now would be, you know, a pretty quiet time to travel. She sent me a picture of she's wearing the most insane outfit you've ever seen. Huge goggles. She looks like Eric Dickerson, all right, okay. Or Kurt Rambis, with a huge, like, hazmat sort of windbreaker on. Mask. She is completely... looks like a hazmat worker, a psychotic lunatic she looks like, okay? She's on a flight from Chicago to Los Angeles. The flight is packed to the gills. There is nothing in place. There's no new protocol. There are multiple people on the plane without masks. Get this. There was only one person working on the plane wearing a mask. She sent me a picture of the people going to their seats. There's just multiple people waiting on a plane in an enclosed plane. A plane where people already get sick, Don, for no reason. Oh, you get sick taking a flight. Okay?
Absolutely.
No masks, no nothing. The stewardesses, no mask. Someone came up to her to ask her for something, got in her face, and she had to yell at her. She was like, excuse me? Like, they're not even... Guys... if this is what's going on in the world, we may not, all these plans we're making about returns to sports, we may have no idea what we're in for if people are this stupid.
Well, JetBlue actually announced that starting, I think, in May, anybody who takes a flight must be wearing a mask.
And when I saw that, I'm like, that wasn't already in place from the last month?
I know.
But if you wear a mask in an airport, though, don't you have to take the mask off at security? They have, when they look at the license and they have,
yeah, maybe for a second to show your face,
but still, that 1 second,
it's unreal. I just can't believe how packed the flight is. So,
well,
people,
I mean, our vice president went to the Mayo Clinic and everybody is wearing a mask and he won't wear it. So, I mean,
it's a great message.
The leaders aren't wearing it. What would that tell people to wear? He said, I get tested all the time. I don't have it. And he said, I wanted to look the workers in the eyes. I didn't know that the mask covered the eyes, but...
yeah, that's an interesting mask. I haven't heard of that. I am so scared of being like, of all the places to be, inside a plane without a mask. Whew. Anyways, that worried me.
Is it just because of where we are that it just seems more real to us than it does to other places in the country? Like,
maybe that's what it is.
I mean, like, because you look at some of the figures around the country, even in New York State, like Cuomo brought it up today, like Finger Lakes, the North Country, where it's not that bad because these are rural areas where people live far from each other. They're not living in apartment complexes, And so for people, even in that state, are they looking at our governor, the governor of New York, saying he's insane because they don't see every day what we see every day? Even here in New Jersey, where things from where I am, a little bit different than it is in like where you are, Peter, right in the smack dab of this thing. Every night I see ambulances driving by my house. Like it's so real. So are there other places where it's just not a thing? And so they get on planes and they don't wear masks and they protest saying, open things up for me. That has to be the answer.
I mean, you would think Governor Murphy,
what I watch every day, they'd be appalled to think of starting things up.
Governor Murphy will probably start things up in the Pine Barrens where the Russian actually escaped on some
All right,
miles
you
and
know
they
what?
Never found him.
So that was another spoiler for Michael. Real quick, on a last serious note here, the Vietnam War Memorial has 57,939 names. We are now, as a nation, at 59,010 names who have died. This pandemic has been worse for life loss in our country than the Vietnam War. Illinois, for example, where my friend was traveling from, she was leaving Chicago. Is Cook County Chicago? That's
yes.
My guess. 33,000 cases, 1,500 deaths. I feel like that's enough to know you need a mask on the flight.
But that 1,500, what is it in relation to people that die of the flu every year? I bring that up because that's always what's thrown at me when I try to talk about it is, well, you know how many people died of the flu last year? So if in Illinois, you know, 3,000 people died of the flu and only half have died from coronavirus, they can look at it and say, what is going on here? What's the big deal? Right? That's probably what they're going to say to you.
Anyways, we're over 300,000 cases in New York State, 23,000 dead in the state.
Is probably the fraction of the people. Right? I was talking to a buddy of mine who believes that he and his entire family had it. Called the doctor. Doctor said, you probably have it, but unless you get any kind of respiratory issues, don't go to the hospital. 2 weeks later, everybody feels fine.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Like, I read a long story in the Times last night. So you could feel fine. And then one day you could wake up and your oxygen level could be down to really scary, and then you could almost be too far gone because your body compensates. So even though you might have some kind of pneumonia or some kind of destruction of the lining of your lungs, your body compensates and you don't feel shortness of breath until it gets to the point where it's
right.
Too far along.
No, that's true, but I also think there are a lot of people that had it, weathered the storm, feel okay now, and have gone on with their lives, and we never knew they had it. They're not part of the statistics of cases. Now, I guess eventually, if God forbid they were to die, that would end up, they would do the autopsy and realize that it was coronavirus. But when they give the number of cases, Michael, what is that, half the people, a quarter of the people? Because you've been basically told, don't go to the hospital until it's absolutely necessary. So if you had the virus and didn't get to the point where you needed to go to the hospital, that's not counted as a case, right?
Nope. Anyways, someone else, speaking of pessimism, someone else who's not too optimistic about the return of basketball is our very own Brian Windhorst. Here he is.
We could have fun for the next hour talking about how you could come up with tournaments and, mm-hmm. you know, single elimination and let's go to Vegas or let's go to Myrtle Beach or let's go here. And I mean, you know, I'm all for the diversion of sports. The real reality of this is that with each layer that you look at comes with more problematic situations. And so I am really hoping that it does get solved. I want to be an optimist here, but the work that I've done on this has led me to be a pessimist. And it doesn't make people happy that I am a pessimist. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm a pessimist. I don't know what to tell you. It's just, it's the nature of what I've learned.
That's Brian Windhorst on Bart and Han earlier.
I think he's being a realist. Unless there's enough tests for everyone that wants a test, and you're not depriving the public of test, how can you run a sport? How?
Right. But
so, I mean, maybe that gets changed. Maybe there will be enough tests in a month, and that changes the whole equation. But right now, can you envision it? You can't get a test if you want. Like, I don't feel that great the last 2 days. I have a cold. No, I would probably go get a test if I could get a test. I don't think I have anything, but I have a cold. But I can't get a test. You call up the healthcare professionals and they say, well, you know what? If you're not feeling, if you don't have shortness, just stay home. So they're not going to waste tests on athletes.
No.
If there's not enough tests.
But what I would say to Brian, or I would say to Jeff Van Gundy or anybody else that's had this opinion that they don't see how it's going to come back. You feel that way now. How will you feel in a month? I mean, and no one is saying that any of these sports are going to return within the next month or so, right? The earliest you could hear is maybe in sometime in June. Dr. Fauci talked about sometime in the summer, which would be any time from late June to early September, right? So, yeah, on April 28th, with the information we have, it seems absolutely ridiculous to think that this could happen. But don't you feel better on April 28th than you did on March 28th? I certainly do. I mean, at least, you know, that was before we even plateaued. And now we're seeing signs that the social distancing and the stay at home has worked. So how will we feel on May 28th? How will we feel on June 28th? So, yeah, now it seems ridiculous. But, you know, we nobody's talking about starting anytime soon. Summertime, maybe it'll be a different story.
Windhorse went on to talk about the hit that the Lakers have taken as a team might surprise you.
The odd part about the Lakers is while they are one of the highest grossing franchises in all of sports, because they are a family business, they run on some of the thinnest margins. They, you know, they are not owned by a billionaire who has other sources of income. The Lakers, you know, Jeannie Buss is her profit at the end of the year of the Lakers is the profit for the family. And that's one of the reasons why they got the money from the federal government. Now, they ended up giving it back because they understood that the optics looked bad. But there was a reason why they applied for it, because $5 million to the Lakers is more meaningful than $5 million to the Knicks. It just is. And so the Lakers, you know, if they had made a run all the way to the finals in Staples Center with all those games, depending on how long those series would be, it would be worth $50 to $60 million in extra revenue for them. That revenue is going to be gone. Because even if they play games, they're probably going to be without fans. That was revenue that they were probably counting on that is not going to be there.
Well said. I think there's a lot of teams in that boat.
Yeah.
Let's go back to The Last Dance. We've been talking about these stories coming out of the Rodman and Jordan relationship, and Carmen Electra was on with Sarah Spain and friends and told this story about Rodman and Jordan.
Michael came to the door because he was late for practice, and Dennis turns to me, and I was naked, hiding behind the couch, he looked scared. Dennis looked scared for one time in his life. And he said, Michael's at the door. I gotta go. And I was hiding because I didn't know if Michael was coming in. I didn't know what was happening. And Dennis got dressed real quick for practice and left.
That's it.
Wow.
Well, that's
Michael that scared was, them.
I thought that was in the show, though.
No, that not that he was scared. That wasn't in the show.
That's true. That she hid.
No, she hid was in the show, but not that he was scared.
Is there anything worse than when you're naked with Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan shows up at your door? If I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times. Nothing puts me in a worse mood. I'm standing around naked and someone goes, Michael Jordan's at the door. Let's move on. By the way, if you didn't know, episodes 5 and 6, Don, they'll be on this weekend on ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday night, 9 o'clock. NFL has some different scenarios potentially for a 2020 season, including a 5-week regular season delay and pushing the Super Bowl back as much as 3 weeks. It's been reported to the Sports Business Journal that the NFL is developing several different variations of the schedule related to a COVID-19 shutdown. So we've already talked about the fact that the Pro Bowl would likely be out. The NFL season could start as late as Thursday, October 15th, and that would push the Super Bowl, which is being played in Tampa Bay, all the way back to February 28th. I got to tell you guys, of the scenarios that exist for sports, that's one that, man, I at least hope is reasonable. You know, I mean, I know that it could be worse than this, but won't it be a bummer if we can't get into a stadium to start a season on October 15th?
I know, but, you know, looking at that type of schedule,
That's 6 months from now, guys.
No, I realize that.
But I did the math.
I do think the delay is to see if they can just pause it long enough to where they can get fans. And maybe more importantly than anything else, at least fans in the building for the postseason. You don't want to have a Super Bowl with no fans, right? They're the one sport that can survive without fans because the television contract is so lucrative. But I think they want to make sure that at least meaningful games at the end of the year, playoff games, can have fans in them. And if you can wait a little while longer, that's doable. But in a perfect world, I wish the NFL season started in October. Right? Think about it, Michael. Like, that would be great because then you'd have the end of baseball season, like, all to themselves. You could just, you know, follow the baseball season and maybe even get the, you know, the World Series. And then you go right to football. What do I care if they play football, the Super Bowl, in late February? All we ever talk about is, you know, nothing going on in February. Give us meaningful
games.
Yeah,
I don't mind that
February.
Part. From a schedule standpoint, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah. Michael's talked about a lot about, like, what could change permanently if the NFL were to start their season in October and have the Super Bowl be in late February. When everything gets back to normal and all the sports are back and fans go, I would love the NFL to change it to that.
I know. You have those early season football games where it's like 94 degrees and doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even feel right. Doesn't even feel like football. I'm with you, Don. Then it's like the real feeling of fall is when football starts and you get to go all the way almost to baseball season.
Football!
Think about this. That's right. How perfect this would be. I think Michael would love this.
Don, take us, set the scene for us.
All right. November 1st. If there's a Sunday, November 1st, football season starts.
Boom.
The day before that Saturday was Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh,
and then you go from Game 7 of the World Series, bang, Week 1 of the NFL. November, December. Now you have Thanksgiving games. All the Thanksgiving games would be good because we're only a month into the season.
Beautiful.
Everybody's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The lousy Detroit Lions might actually have a record where you don't mind watching them. December, we can have games during the holidays into January. Playoffs in February.
You know that because you know that. That New Year's NFL weekend, it's a slate of meaningless dreck. Not anymore. Now it's midway through the season, Don.
You might be in like week 12. This will be the turning point. Steve Young talking about how the season doesn't start till the first of the year.
I got to help you with your math, Don. It wouldn't be week 12. You're saying
week 9.
It would be like week 9.
Yeah, perfect. That's like what Steve Young says about Thanksgiving now becomes first of the year. Oh, yeah,
but the one thing is, I don't think football cares about, gee, let's make it great for the fans, baseball Saturday. They don't care about going up against the World Series.
No,
baseball will care if they go up against them.
But here's the thing, all right? They don't care because they win the face-off against everybody, but they were sensitive to starting on Labor Day, remember? Because we don't want to go against Labor Day weekend, weather's nice, people go away on the weekend, so they made sure that they do it the week after. Well, think about September. Peter just said it. A lot of these games, even here in New York, you can have a game in early September. It's 90 degrees outside. Gorgeous. You know what? Maybe I'd like my Sundays where I can go to the beach, hang out. Give me the football when the weather's starting to turn anyway. Then you would get the majority of the season where you'd get more snow games, more cold weather games. You know, they talk about football being this bad weather, cold weather sport. That doesn't happen until late in the season. You started in November.
Now, there is a day, and that's where the downside is.
Games in week one.
But that's where the downside is. Every game's freezing in the Northeast the entire season.
Good. That's the way it's supposed to be.
All right. Well, I hear you. Scary news here, Michael. Trey Mancini, the Orioles outfielder, revealed that he has stage 3 colon cancer. He's just 28 years old, and he had a physical in spring training, and doctors informed him that his blood test showed low iron levels.
Mm-hmm.
He had an endoscopy and a colonoscopy on March 6th and found out the diagnosis. He went to Baltimore to have surgery to remove the tumor on March 12th. He's now in chemo during the middle of the coronavirus. And he said, I'm definitely trying to follow all the protocols, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also because I don't want to expose myself to anything, especially before going into chemotherapy. So sending our best out to Trey Mancini of the Orioles.
He wrote a story in the Players' Tribune today, and I was sitting in my living room reading it, crying. I mean, the strength of this guy, just amazing, great attitude, but just an awful story.
I knew somebody with this exact same condition, and it said it in the article. He said it, that you can survive it. The chemo at least in the circumstances that I know for stage three colon cancer with a mass is not as aggressive as some. And unfortunately, during the pandemic and all that going on, that adds a certain layer to it. But I think there's an excellent chance that he can bounce back from this and get back to his major league career when there is one to have.
Another sad story is the other day in Orlando, Dexter Rents, a Louisville signee, was killed in a shooting. And Shaquille O'Neal caught wind of the story. Shaq, of course, lives in Orlando and decided to pay for all the funeral expenses. Mm-hmm. He told ESPN, whatever his mom wants, this family that's now, instead of dealing with their son preparing to go to Louisville to play ball, is planning a funeral for their kid. So, nice
to hear. Shaq seems like a really decent dude.
He does. It feels like he does a lot of just really decent things.
Yeah. And he said something like, he said, I've never lost a son, but I've lost someone, and I know how much it hurts, so any way I could help. Just, I mean, that's a decent thing to do.
A five-star player who was going to UCLA has decided to sign with the new G League pathway program. Dyson Nix was supposed to go to UCLA in the fall, but is going with this new plan.
I'm telling you, you're going to see a lot of this. You know, I know the arguments that people make. Jim Boeheim made it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Zion Williamson would not have gotten the contract sneaker-wise if he didn't go to Duke. I get that. But those kids are not thinking that far ahead, and Zion did not come from an impoverished background.
Nope.
So he can afford that 1 year in Duke. Some of these kids, that $500,000 that they're going to get from the G League exalted team, whatever you want to call it, that's a difference maker. Are you going to see a seismic change in college where the best players are going to go to the G League? Mm-hmm. Yes, some will get the experience of that 1 year in college, and that maybe raises the profile because they went to Kentucky or Duke. But if you come from a really poor background and you could make $500,000,
sure,
would you bet on a bigger sneaker deal because you went to Duke? No.
Yeah, you're given no choice when you put it in those type of parameters. But the one thing that Boeheim said last week that I thought was interesting that I didn't think of was, how do you know you're being properly coached in the G League? At least you know when you go to college, you choose a coach, you play for Jim Boeheim, you play for Coach K. You know these are the great coaches in this country, that even if it's for a year, you're getting some of the best coaching possible to go into the NBA. You don't know who's coaching in the G League.
I mean, they're probably not random strangers off the street.
No, I'm sure they're not, but you can't say that they're, you know, that they are coaches that would be able to be on the same level as a Boeheim or a Krzyzewski or any of these guys, right? I mean, you're talking about, you're going to a big-time program, you're probably going to go for 1 year and be coached by one of the two or three best coaches in college basketball, and if not the entire planet. And you go to the G League, it might be a guy that is maybe could be a great coach, but you don't know.
Yeah, I'd agree with Peter, though. They're not going to put some hack in the exalted team.
Yeah, you'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. You're not going to get the same experience as Coach K. France has banned sporting events until at least September, which ends their soccer season. That was announced by their prime minister. And the president of the Tokyo Olympics says the games could be scrapped altogether if not held in 2021. And I know we don't talk about the Olympics here that much, but when you talk about sad things happening in sports, if an entire summer games gets scrapped, that could mean, it would mean, there were athletes who worked their entire lives and would never get the chance. Their whole life on a track to be at those games, they could end up missing it, never get the chance again.
In sports where this is the pinnacle.
And that's right? It. There is no other thing that means the same.
There might be you know, swim meets and different things that you do, the international competition, but it'll never be the Olympics. It's so true. And I guess you can't keep pushing it, right? You push it to 2022, that would mean in the summer and winter games would be in the same year, which has been done before. But I guess at some point, I guess you just can't do it.
Well, Michael always wants me to end on a happy note, so I will point out tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN, the Game 7 between the Red Sox and Yankees, 2003, the Aaron Boone game.
You know what? I don't know.
That's right. Here comes Michael's
No. Don't say what Aaron Boone did. Don't ruin it for people.
No, it's not the same.
Not the same. And guess what?
Don't do
and
it.
And guess what? I still wouldn't do it. I would just say
Boone hits a home run, walk off, he wins. Gets the Yankee gig many years later.
Well, that'll do it.
Wow. But nobody's watching that, Michael, that doesn't know that.
It's not the same.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.